Welcome, Jennifer, to Writer's Series.
Thank you for having me.
You are an English teacher, a YouTuber, and an author. When did you develop an affinity for writing?
Well, I've always liked to write, but as a teacher, we do a lot of writing. We write our lesson plans, we create materials, and I always love to be creative and create to fill a need. So as a teacher, I also created materials and I managed to publish them. Even when I was early in my career over in Moscow, I found people willing to take a chance on me and I published some materials there. And when I came back to the US, I also had an opportunity to create materials for the school that I was working at. So I had in-house publications. Those got some attention from a publisher and I worked my way into publishing for an educational publisher. So I have a background in textbook materials and sort of instructional materials for students and teachers. But my most recent publication was the first time that I decided to write nonfiction and very much from the heart. It's very personal.
From your writing experiences from the time you started out, is there any particular form of writing that you found to be a bit challenging or different, where you had to adjust your approach to it?
Well, I can say a stepping stone along the way has been blogging. I'm also a blogger and I blog for teachers. It's part of my reflective teaching practice. So I have learned to open up. I've had learned to share my thinking process, how I approach things, how I deal with things. And so I think being a bit vulnerable and opening myself up and opening up and showing my thought process has helped me become the writer that I am today. So it has been a journey in learning to blog in a way that is helpful for others and meaningful to me.
Jennifer, you work with a wide array of students that come from different walks of life. What makes your contribution to the craft of writing unique?
I think every writer has their unique contribution. It's a combination of our personal experiences. My background being a language learner and combining that with my experience as a teacher, I really try to infuse my writing with positivity. That's very important to me, because I know we all have our struggles, as teachers, especially learners. It's quite a challenge to become proficient in a foreign language. And I try to bring empathy and positivity to my writing.
As a grammar coach, where do you identify or observe your students struggling a bit when it comes to writing?
Through my writing, I say I have to observe what they produce. And that's where I get my inspiration to write. You can't write in a vacuum. There's always, it comes from within. But in this case, when I write my materials or when I reflect on my blog, it's a reaction to what I've observed and what I'm experiencing. So what I see is a need, and then I begin to reflect, and then I begin to create to help meet that need.
As a YouTuber, there are some creators who just turn on the video and they start sharing their content. Do you write prior to shooting your videos?
That's a great question. I did initially, I didn't have much experience coming onto YouTube, so it's been a learning process. And initially, I did just turn on the camera because at the time I was thinking that I wanted to recreate the classroom experience. You don't have a script when you're a teacher in the classroom. So I would have a lesson plan, I'd have an outline of what I wanted to cover. I'd turn on the camera and I'd just begin, and it would come out naturally. But I would have to take a few attempts to get it the way that I wanted it to sound and to make sure that I covered all that I wanted to. I also found it along the way to be more efficient if I did plan out more in detail. So at this point of the game, I do script it out. I do go off script as I'm teaching, as before in front of the camera, but having a full script keeps me more focused and it makes a better use of my time. It reduces the number of takes that I need before the camera.
On average, how many number of takes are you content with?
That's another fun question. I guess it depends on the day, whether I've slept enough or not. When you're really focused, you can get it in one or two, maybe three takes. But what usually happens is if it's quite a long script, Quite good at the beginning. And then as time goes on, you might lose the focus, which happens. And so I might find towards the end of a recording session, I might need to say a certain point 5 times, even up to 10. Now, there are lots of things that can influence this. Noises are beyond my control. So sometimes it's flowing out beautifully, and then there's the sound of a plane or the sound of a loud truck passing, and I have to redo it. So there are a number of factors that affect the number of takes.
As an author, Jennifer, do you have one tip for a writer that is starting out and one tip for an established writer?
I think the practices are often the same, but you need to know at the beginning, just start. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let doubts and worries hold you back. You just start writing because part of the writing process is revision, and you can always revise. That's what I like about blogging too, is you just let it flow, and then you go into the editing stage and you can revise. If you allow yourself some time to walk away, come back with fresh eyes, your writing will benefit from it. So don't let writer's block stop you. Just get something flowing. Let it flow out. You can always reshape it, revise it. So I wouldn't try to wait for that wonderful line to appear in your head. Just start with something, get it out there, and you can craft it. You can shape it. That's revision. For the seasoned writer, I would just remind all of us that we still need to revise. Revising is part of our craft. I think it's very rare if I would write something straight out and press publish. I think no matter how good of a writer we consider ourselves to be, we need to take ourselves through the process of revision. If we can possibly get feedback from peers, that would be great, but that's not always a possibility, for example, in the case of blogging.
Is there any new project that you're working on at the moment?
Always creating something as a teacher. It could be a daily lesson plan, could be a course. So I do have some audio materials that I'd like to create. So I need to make sure that everything is formatted in the way that I want it to be, in a way that I'm proud of, in a way that I feel that would be beneficial for my learners. And then I need to move on to the recording step, but writing first. Start with a good solid text, a good solid script, and then you can move to recording.
Is there any book on writing or writing techniques that you would recommend to the audience?
Goodness. I don't have books that I turn to, but there are so many wonderful resources. I would just remind everybody that part of the revision process is checking yourself, not to be too dependent on software suggestions because they're not always 100% accurate for what you want to produce. But there are good resources for native speakers. I would actually remind you that there are things called learner's dictionaries. So the regular dictionary will just give you a definition and an example, but a learner's dictionary actually helps the native speaker because it can remind us of the grammar needed for a certain piece of vocabulary. And perhaps you think you know how to use that word, but perhaps that's not the standard way of using it. And of course, standards are good simply because they help us be as clear as possible. If we use standard English, it pretty much ensures that we'll be understood by the majority of readers.
And finally, is there any writer out there whose work you admire and why?
Oh goodness, the list is endless, but I can just say on a personal note, there's a number of books that I'm reading right now. But one that I read not too long ago and had an impact on me was Louise Hay. And mostly it was her content, of course, that impacted me, but her style was so beautiful. And I think it's such a gift to be able to write simply through words and reach a reader that way, so genuinely, so openly, so meaningfully. And it's her style that comes across as so genuine. And so I really appreciate, the love that she put into her writing and admire her ability to write and make the reader immediately feel comfortable and receptive to her messages. So I appreciate the content and I really admire the way that she presented it.
I agree with you. I have some of her content and it just appears to flow.
And it's a conversation. And that's what I wrote my work of nonfiction, my short work, before reading Louise Hay. But it's something that I wanted to aspire to as well, to make it sound like a conversation, to make someone feel comfortable and willing to receive my thoughts and think with me. And I think Louise Hay takes that beautiful approach and manages or managed to do it quite well in her writing, that she has so much to teach, but it's never from this high position of authority, but rather just from a friend who cares.
Jennifer, you're welcome to share with audiences where people can find you and support your work.
Well, one way to support my work is on Patreon. You can become a kind-hearted patron, and that would support my work. It's a monthly contribution and helps everything keep going online. I have a lot of projects going, so you can become a kind-hearted patron on Patreon. If you ever watch a video and you like it on YouTube, you can also use a super thanks to acknowledge my work. I would appreciate it greatly. But I have a website, Englishwithjennifer.com, and everything I offer is there.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you so much.